If you would, turn to Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But Jonah ran and he tried to flee to Tarshish, and Jonah got thrown in the sea and got swallowed by a fish. And then in verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So Jonah was called by the Lord. He was called and told, you know, you need to go witness to these people. It was a city of wickedness, just everything in it. It was all awful. And then Jonah answered God's call. The first time, he tried to run, and says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah in chapter 1, verse 1, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, and from the presence of the Lord." And so he just ran. He tried to flee. He, you know, disobeyed God and tried to get out of it. And then the second time he went, the fish swallowed him, and then the fish spit him up on land. And he said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go." And what should have taken 3 days took him only one. He did it in one day. And, you know, God gives us second chances. He doesn't only leave us with the first chance. You know, if Jonah would have just ran and God would have said, "Okay, then if you're going to run, then I'm just going to leave you alone," then Nineveh never would have been saved. They never would have repented. And God would have all to be saved. He sent Jonah to the Gentiles. He sent them, you know, to the, not the Jews, the Gentiles. And so in Mark 16:15 it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so God just wants us to be a witness. He wants us to speak out loud. He wants us to go and just witness and try and save people and get people to listen and come to church. And now, word of prayer. Still, I thank you for this day, and I pray that you just be with tonight, and that you just be with all the speakers. And I pray that you be with Dylan, who's next, and that you just help him and give him the words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, John 8. And in verse 3, it says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her up, set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman has taken adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, and that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they that which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those of thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Amen. One thing stuck out at me when I was reading this. And he said, sin no more. You know, many people today believe, you know, we can just keep living the way we are, keep sinning, and we'll still be right with God. God will still accept us as we are. And that's not the case. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't have to turn there. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
And all the Bible is right. True.
Amen.
So, it says that if you're saved, you're a new creature. And you shouldn't have those same sinful lusts. And our ultimate goal should be to understand. Ultimate goal should be to please Him.
Amen.
So if we want to please Him, we need to stop sinning.
Amen.
Basically, I mean, first day of school, first week, the kid, I was sitting in the library, because I have an off period, so, and he just came down and sat down next to me, and he just comes up to me and says, what church do you go to?
Amen.
I mean, it's kind of awkward. I mean, I wasn't really doing anything and say I was a Christian. He just came up to me and said, what church do you go to? I said, Heritage Baptist Church. And I won't say the name of the church he goes to. Rhymes with Payway. But just thought of that. So we started talking about what he believes and what we believe. And he says that anybody can come to God and anybody can be right with God. Doesn't matter if you're a sinner or whatever you do. I told him, I don't know if I believe that. And kind of just looked at me. So I remember I showed him 2 Corinthians 5:17, how he's wrong. And he just kind of walked off. Just kind of left. I haven't seen him since. Basically, we should conform to God, and not the other way around. Yeah. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, just thank you for this day, Lord, and just thank you for Pastor giving us the opportunity to come up here and give your word, Lord, and just bless the remaining service and just fill the remaining preachers with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, thank you, Brother Dylan. 216, hymn 216, Dwelling in Beulah Land. The first and last verse of Dwelling in Beulah Land. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set up. As everybody stands, hymn. Things of earth in vain to me are called. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. Contemplation, hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He plans. Dwelling in the Spirit, here I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the God. I've been drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land.
Maybe you can be seated. Teenagers thought we'd stand and lead our church in that way. That would be kind of fun. Our youth ministry has many outreach parts of it, and some of them you may not know about. One of the things that we do each week, unless there's something else going on, is we go out soul winning and visitation. And I want you to know that it is a privilege to be part of this youth group, because when they go out, it's not like you're pulling arms and you don't have them come back and say, "Man, Brother Ladd, I only did five houses." I mean, our kids work, and I believe God's blessed that. There's so many times that people come to our church and I get a chance to help out visitation, so I look where they live, and it's so exciting because I think I look at their house and say, "I bet they got a flyer on their door from our youth group." And it's encouraging. But that's one of the outreaches of our church. Another one that many of you all maybe have heard of but don't know much about are our Bible clubs in schools. And so this time, we're just going to have a few students come forward. I have Reed and Bree and Jessica. If you all don't mind coming forward for just a moment, come on up here. Perfect. Don't be nervous. We'll let Reed go first to break the ice here for us. But we have, as you all know, we have three Bible clubs that we had going. And come on up. You guys are fun. Just in the past 2 weeks, we started our fourth Bible club. And it's been going really well. I'll let Jessica tell you a little bit about it. But all I want you to do is be able to put faces with these kids' names and pray for them specifically, because every day of the week except for Thursday, we're doing at least one and sometimes two Bible clubs. And so as you guys are driving to work, or sometimes before most people be waking up, they're out there before school being a godly example and make a difference in their school. So I just want them just to tell you where they're from and just make a prayer request for each of their schools.
Hi, I'm Reed Spivey. I go to Central High School. I'm a junior. I started my Bible club with my sister after spring break of last year. Every week we meet on Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. School starts at 8:30, so we have like roughly 20 minutes. And we get about 15 average every week. And I just ask that you pray that we can grow spiritually and numerically. So.
Hi, I'm Bree. I go to Steele Accelerate High School. Last year when I came to this church, God put a burden on my heart to start a Bible club in my school. The next day I went to my principal and we got to accept it, so we started the next week. I'm so thankful that God took this with 6 weeks of Bible club last year. It made an impact in everybody's life. When school started this year, I had several people on the first day come to me and ask when Bible club's starting back up, and that they're so excited. And people who never even went to Bible club last year are coming now. And I'm also blessed that I got to help my friend get closer to God with coming, and which she's having a hard time and everything. We have 11 students and a few teachers that come, which, you know, teachers aren't really supposed to, but they do anyway. So I'm so thankful God put this burden on my heart, and because of that, I get to see people excited to be a part of Bible club. So I ask that y'all pray for me and everybody else and hope that they grow closer to God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jessica Colbert. I go to Boyd High School. I'm a junior, and this past summer I got a burden to start a Bible school at Boyd High School, since basically there isn't any independent fundamental Baptist churches around in Boyd. So I just had the burden to try to spread the spiritual and the gospel there at Boyd. And we've started Bible club for like the past 2 weeks now, and we've had about 8 the first week, 7 the next week. So me and Dayton have been running it, and it's just great to know that we're spreading the spirit there and spreading the word, and hopefully just continue to spread the word of Christ. And just please pray for us that our attendance could stay steady, continue to grow, and just that we continue to be servants of God. Thank you.
To just add, some of you probably have no idea what a Bible club is. My wife and I moved here from Knoxville, Tennessee. We were part of a church that actually had 38 Bible clubs. It was just an amazing thing what God had done there. And so when I came here, of course, I was at a Bible school, a different school every day of the week, and sometimes two or three schools. And so I had a burden to do it. And I just decided when I came that I was not going to start Bible clubs. I just decided I wasn't going to start Bible clubs. Not because I didn't want to, but I knew that God would bless it if our teenagers got a burden for it. So the exciting thing when you hear about it is I didn't go to any of these students. I did give Reed a little bit of a hard time. Reed and Rod on the way back, I said, "I really want you guys to pray about this." I said something one time, and they took the initiative and they took the burden and started the first club. But these Bible clubs are only happening because there's students in our church who have a burden to do it. We couldn't go. I tried starting Bible clubs. I wish I could tell you the entire story, but principals would not even acknowledge me. Secretary looked at me like I was dumb. I mean, people just did not even acknowledge I was there. And as soon as the students get a burden for it, then it happens. So you pray. There's no telling what God can do with this. I'll just say this. We'll get to heaven someday, and I know there'll be people there, and they'll say, I'm there because your church had a burden to reach my school. And most of you all never see them, and you may never know them, but they're kids who come every week with broken hearts, and I'm thinking of a couple of teenagers right now that just look like broken and battered teenagers who have no hope, and they come to Bible Club, and they smile and say, I'm excited about what God's doing in my life, and it's all because the teenagers our church got burdened. So I hope you all pray for that ministry and pray that God just continues to bless it. At this time, we have some gentlemen coming to help us with the offering this evening. Come on down, gentlemen. Perfect. Some young gentlemen, I should say. And what we'll do is we'll have two preachers at a time, and we'll have three different sessions of it. And I know you guys will enjoy the preaching tonight. But just before we take the offering, let's have Noah come, and he'll pray for it. But just ask you all to give and give faithfully as unto the Lord.
All right, let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and just I thank you for these the blessings that you have given us, Lord, and the offering that you've supplied these people to give to you and back to you, Lord. And just bless this offering, Lord, and bless the rest of the service, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Our next two preachers also started a Bible club, and rather than have to give a testimony, I'll allow both of them to say a word. Tyler King is a sophomore this year. Tyler went to Northwest last year, and this year he's being homeschooled, but he's also still able to go on campus and help us. He's a great blessing in that Bible club. And then Victor Villalobos, and Victor is one of our most recent preacher boys. So, Victor, this is your first time giving a message. Is that right? So you all pray for Tyler and Victor as they come to preach.
Amen. The Bible club at Northwest has been going really good. Been having about 10 every week, and forgot to turn this on.
Is that good? Okay.
And I'll just hope that you guys will pray that we see a soul saved this year.
Amen.
If you will turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And what
And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? For wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of the thought of for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the days the evil thereof. For during a prayer meeting on Sunday nights, Brother Jesse was teaching us to how to study our Bibles for a while. And he said every time you see the word therefore, you have to go back and see what it's there for. And so I was reading this, and I saw the last verse, it said, therefore. So I went back and I looked. And what I realized was that this entire paragraph was saying, living for God today. I've always heard the verse 33, but I never knew the context of it. And I went back and I noticed that he was saying, don't take thought about all the stuff that's going on. But if you search for God first and serve him, all the other things will line in place. And knowing that, don't worry about tomorrow. Every day is enough. I'm sure in the crowd this size, there's someone in here who's saying, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a Christian. I don't believe any of this. Well, so you're wondering how this applies to you. Okay, so first, how this applies to you is you need to know that Jesus is the only way. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay? So, how this applies to you is that you should accept Jesus today. Because no man knoweth the hour, the Bible says, whenever Jesus is coming back. And the Bible also says that life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then is gone. So, you'd never know how long your life is going to be. So, I pray that Jesus, that you'll just accept Jesus today.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come up here. I pray for the next preacher. I pray that Victor will have the words that you want him to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm kind of nervous, but I'm going to do it. Too many papers. Okay, can you please turn to the book of James? Chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when the Lord is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that loveth him. 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted of any man. Trust me, you all can be tried as the devils are, at especially teens. The devils at work. I'm 15 years old, and I have seen other teenagers do drugs, and I have also been asked to do drugs. But the Lord is with me and blesses me and gives me the wisdom and the inner strength to fight off the evil temptations, to say no and stay away from those bad habits. And another problem that I have, that students around me, is cussing. Like, I really dislike cussing. Like, that's like one of my pet peeves. Like, oh, I don't like it. And this one kid was talking with this other kid, and I'm not going to say their names because one of them used to go here, and he was one of my best friends. But he's changed a lot, in, like, in a bad way. And so then they were cussing, like, next to me, and I told them to, like, quit. And then they started cussing at me, and they didn't notice me, they didn't know that it was me that told them to quit. So then they started cussing at me until they turned around and then noticed my size compared to them. And, okay. So then they stopped, and then they apologized to me, and they were saying, oh, we're sorry, sorry. And I'm like, you know what, don't even talk to me. And So then I walked off and he was saying that he was sorry because we were best friends at first. But then I'm like, we're not going to be friends if you're going to keep cussing. Like, oh, then yeah. Then he's saying, oh, I'm going to stop. I'm like, you said that like a year ago and you're going to keep doing it. And you keep saying that you're saved and all that. And you're just a fake. Okay. Back to verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted. Oh, wait, I forgot something. Verse 12, sorry. Blessed the man that endures temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. I don't know about you all, but I want to receive the crown of life, amen, which the Lord hath promised to them and loveth him. 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. I'm tempted of God. I want to be Christ-like when I grow up. We should all have the desire to live like God, not to allow earthly desires to get in our way. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Our role model should be God, and we should not be tempted with evil. And I would want to end my sermon with this Bible verse that helps me throughout my day, and hopefully your guys'. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strains me. And let's end my sermon with a prayer. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us, Lord, and thank you for speaking through me, Lord. And please pray, please be with me as I grow up and live for you, Lord, and not for the devil, Lord. And please be with the other preachers that are coming up here, Lord. And in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen.
Perfect song for actor Victor. Preach little as much when God is in it. Hymn 219, let's all stand again for Beat the Youth to the Punch. We're going to do the first and second verse, and on that last chorus, we're going to slow it down just a little bit. So the first two verses. In the harvest fields now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. A little as much when God is in it. Labor not the wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. On that second, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it and He'll not forsake His own. Slow it down. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Thank you. May be seated.
Caitlin, if you want to come up to sing a special for us. Thanks to the Harrison family. They've just started helping us out in youth ministry. They're going to help us out until the end of the year, at least for sure, and we're excited. They've been a great blessing. We just got a chance this weekend to go to a youth rally in Cleburne, Texas. How many of y'all know where Cleburne is? It's only about an hour and a 10-minute drive, but if it's traffic, it could be as much as a 2 or 3 hour loop around 820 and all the way out through the middle of nowhere. So Friday night, we were the ones all the way out in the middle of nowhere trying to get there. But I want you to know something, and I think the Harrison could attest to this, my wife could attest to this. When we go somewhere with our teenagers, they don't wear shirts that say we're godly. They don't even necessarily look different, everything about them. But every time we go somewhere, it's so exciting. People come and speak to me, and you can just see in their faces that they're impressed with our teenagers. Amen. And I sit back, and I'm like, I didn't do anything, but it makes us look, my wife and I look really good, and we like that. But we have a great group of teenagers, and Caitlin's going to sing for us in just a moment, revive us again. After Caitlin sings for us, we'll have our last two preachers for the night. Patrick Day is preaching first, and Caleb Crawford will be preaching last. Let me say this. We don't ever tell our teenagers that every one of them needs to be in the ministry. I think that's a mistake sometimes people make, is that we make teenagers think that if they're not called to preach or they're not called to be a Christian school teacher, they're second rate. I could not feel any more strongly different about that. I believe if God calls a person to preach, they should do it. But if God doesn't call them to preach, they have no business doing it. Right. And so we encourage our teenagers to faithfully love and serve God and do what God calls them to do and be a faithful worker in the Lord's army, you might say. But Patrick is the young man who's just surrendered whatever God has to him. He's not a preacher, per se. But I feel no different about him coming than any other young men. But you pray for these young men as they come that God would use their message. for Caitlin.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for that Spirit of life who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Is it on? Oh, okay, awesome. Can I have everyone turn to Acts chapter 17? And we'll be starting in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed a thing, seeing he giveth to all men to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Tonight I basically just want to talk about seeking a strong relationship with God and being able to, you know, endure temptation and to have a personal level with him. God, you know, as our Father, he wants to be close to us. I mean, we're his children, we're his offspring, as I said, and he created us. And I think that any parent here could easily recognize the fact that you want to have a strong relationship with their kid. You want them to be able to come to you and to be able to talk, and for them to come to you and fall back on you. And James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So how can we build a strong relationship with God? I just have a couple points. First one is found in Proverbs 8, verse 17, if you want to turn there. It's, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." So the first thing would be every morning to set aside a time, even if it's, you know, setting your alarm ahead to, you know, spend time with him, to fellowship with him. I mean, I don't think that there's anything more important than personal one-on-one time with God. I mean, going to church, like was said before, is the icing on the cake. It's not the bulk of our walk. We should all set aside a time in the morning where we can start our day out right, make commitments, you know, commit ourselves to memorizing God's Word and serving Him. Matthew 6:33, as Tyler said, is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That should be the first thing we do, is seeking God and set our day right. God is our foundation. It's our job to continue to build on that foundation our relationship with Christ. So also in the morning, you can make lasting habits that will bring you closer to God. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Scripture memorization, I think, is probably something that isn't done, I think, by a lot of adults, or I don't know. Something that they, you know, push a lot in kids, you know, memorizing verses in Awanas and Pax the Pirate, but I think that should never go away. I think that should be something that adults do, as well as teens. Sin separates us from God, and as we choose to sin, we are personally separating ourselves away from God. I mean, that takes up our lives, bulk of our time. So the second point would be to put sin away. James 4:8 says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts." That's the second part of the verse. Just as David said in Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That should be our prayer every day, again in the mornings, is to create a new spirit within me and to be able to have a good testimony and, you know, share with others that we know at our work and or wherever we're at, school, work, and be able to have a good enough testimony that they look at you, and when you start talking gospel with them, they're not going to say, "Hey, you know, where's this coming from? You don't even live like a Christian at all." Also, eliminating distractions that occupy precious time. We were talking about on the way to camp, Brother Harrison and I were, that we have these available 24-hour distractions all the time, and they're everywhere. The devil has them right where he wants them, in our houses, you know, on our, you know, in our cars, on our phones, and we have to, you know, purpose in our heart to put those off, to not let them interfere with our spiritual walk. My last point was actually something that was said at the youth rally we went to this last weekend. It was, if we, you know, we give Hollywood every week hours and hours of our attention. I mean, what would happen if we gave God the same amount of attention that we give Hollywood every week? I think that revival, growth, people getting saved, all that would happen if we would just focus more on God. Christ loved us enough to die for us, and our whole salvation is based on His love, and we can barely put aside time, you know, every week for Him. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, Lord, I just thank You for this day. Thank You for all giving me. And thank You for how much You've blessed this church, Lord. I pray that You would just help us to, you know, desire a closer relationship with You, to walk with You, Lord. Put away distractions and spend time with You in the morning. In Your name I pray. Amen.
If you would turn to me, with me, to the book of Matthew. Turn to me. I'm in Matthew, so turn to me. Matthew chapter 9. We'll start in verse 35. The message I'm going to preach to you tonight is something you hear a lot. It's very common, but it can never be preached enough, I don't think. And that's on the harvest times. In verse number 35 of Matthew, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." I want to point out, first of all, that Jesus saw the need. He saw the need of the people. He said in verse 36, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I can tell you today, there's a lot of lost people out there having no shepherd, not knowing Christ as their Savior. And it's our responsibility to see this need and act upon it. Verse number 36, He also says He did something about it. Not only did He see it, but He had compassion on them. He felt something toward them. He didn't just see the need and go, "Oh, that's great, somebody else can do that." But he felt something inside and said, "I should do something about this. This is my job. I should do something about this. I have compassion upon them." In John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4 and verse 34. "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Not only did He see the need, He saw and He had compassion. But he said, don't delay. He told his disciples, he said, don't delay. The harvest is now. He said, don't wait. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Hey, don't wait for your pastor to do it. Your neighbor's not going to get reached by your pastor. That's your responsibility. Hey, your coworker, hey, your friend at school, he's your responsibility. That's your job. He didn't say go into all the world and preach the gospel to pastors. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to Christians. You, me. He said don't make excuses. Don't delay. Don't wait. Not only that, in verse 34, he said we are to do our Father's work. He said, in verse 34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. God the Father sent his Son to die for us. He died for us that we might be saved, that escape hell for all eternity and go to heaven with him. And he was sent to earth not only to die for us, but to witness, to show them his Father and to glorify him. And as he saved us, he gave us the new man, a new beginning. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to be about his business, Christ's business. And that is our call. In verse 6, Mark 16:15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That was a command. It wasn't asking. He said, go ye. And it's hard for me to imagine that we would disobey something from God of the universe. God of the universe, the one who saved us, right? The one who gave us eternal life. And yet daily, we neglect our work that he's given us. I just want to ask you a couple questions and what will you do? There's a work to be done. What will you do? Will you have compassion? You see the need. It's very obvious. You can go to any door. You can knock three doors. I guarantee at least one out of those three will be lost. You come on Saturdays. Come on Tuesdays. You'll find out. Will you delay? Will you put it off? Will you say, no, I'll let the youth pastor. I'll let the associate pastor. I'll let somebody else. I'll let my teacher do it. You know, somebody will get them. Somebody will tell them. And nobody's going to tell them. That's your responsibility. They may. But what if they don't? What if they don't? It's on your hands. Or will you be about the Father's work? Will you stand up and do what's right? Will you tell others? I ask that you bow your heads, close your eyes. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation. Just ask that you'd think on these things, these preachers. We've gotten up here and we've delivered what God would have us to speak to you tonight. What will you do with these messages? Will you act upon them? Dear Lord, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. I pray that you'd bless these messages that have been presented to you, that you'd use them, that we'd not go home and just discard them as another message, but to apply them to our lives. Not to look on it as just teenagers, just children giving their opinions, but to see it as your word. I pray that you would help us to fulfill your work, the Father's work. In Jesus' name, amen.